It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings, and welcome to our very special show with a very special guest. I'm so happy to be able to welcome back Mary Lambert to our program. Mary has been on tour promoting her latest album, Bold, and she's going to join us again today, this hour. We're going to talk about Bold. We're also going to talk about her upcoming plans for a new album and some other exciting news that's been going on in her life over the last few months since we last had her in studio. She's always very interesting and certainly amazing to speak with. Mary Lambert joins us today right here on Border Crossings.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay, cause I could draw. My uncle was, and I kept my room straight. I told my mom, tears rushing down my face. She's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Tripping. Yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant. But those that like the same sex have the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition playing God. Oh, nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. And God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago.
Bye-bye,
I don't know.
Bye-bye. And I can't change. Bye-bye. Even if I tried, even if I wanted to.
Gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion. Gender to skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless rather than fighting for humans that have had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, but that's not important. No freedom till we're equal. Damn right I support it. Don't press pause. Progress march on. With the veil over our eyes, we turn our back on the cause. Till the day that my uncles can be united by law. When kids aren't walking around the hallway, plagued by pain in their heart. A world so hateful, some would rather die than be who they are. And a certificate on paper isn't gonna solve it all, but it's a damn good place to start. No law is gonna change us. We have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear. Underneath, it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
I can't set. Even if I tried, even if I wanted to.
Hi, this is Border Crossings. My name is Larry London. She's bold. She's beautiful. She's on tour. We've got her in our studios for the second time, and I am so happy and excited to welcome back Mary Lambert. Nice to have you in D.C.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
It is great to see you again. You look great. That's a beautiful smile.
Thank you.
You look so happy. And let's introduce yourself to the new guy who's in the band. He wasn't with you last time.
No, he's been with me for so long. We've been friends for 10 years. I don't remember why you weren't here. I think you had to fly. But you can introduce yourself.
What's your name?
I'm Tim.
Tim, nice to meet you. Now, you are very loyal to your band because, I don't want to overstep my bounds, but you had a couple of artists who were with you when I watched this video chat that you had did. Mm. And both of them, one was with you for 4 years, one was with you for longer than that.
Yeah.
So you're very loyal to your musicians.
I mean, I get great musicians. By chance, my friends happen to be really talented. Mm-hmm. So it's like I could never... It's like hanging out with your friends all the time and then playing music together. I know they say don't mix like friendship and business, but it's only been awesome for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes it's good to have your friends around.
Yeah.
Because they'll probably be more honest to you
exactly.
about things than if it were just some stranger, random person on the street.
Yeah.
Musicians. So tell me what's been going on since we last met. We met in 2017. Mm-hmm. We talked then. And you went through some difficulties in the last few months.
Yeah, it's been a kind of a bizarre couple of months. I signed a book deal, which was really exciting for my poetry.
Great.
Yeah,
that's
and
great.
And so that collection of poems will come out in the fall, and so that's been a really exciting thing to sort of focus and put all my energy into. And then we started tour in October, so we've been touring since October. We took like a 2 month break, and are just heading out today. Today is the first day of tour, and on that break, I went through a breakup and I had a house fire.
California?
I'm in Massachusetts. It was a dryer fire.
Oh,
that
no.
started, and so I lost about half my clothes and some belongings and. I was born without a sense of smell, and so that was really the most terrifying thing of, like, not being able to smell.
You were in the house when this happened?
I was in the house, yeah.
Oh,
and,
no.
It was a really, really emotional experience, and it just felt like a culmination of the nightmare that I had been experiencing, where I was like, okay, my life is literally on fire.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm literally in hell.
Wow, what was the first thing you grabbed when you ran outside?
I just grabbed my phone. I wanted to grab things, but I thought against it,
Well, thank goodness you're healthy.
Yeah.
Because that's something that can't be replaced.
Yeah, it's true. And there was minor damage. Like, it looked a lot worse than it actually was, which was nice.
Mm. One of the other things I enjoyed watching when I watched this presentation that you did online on Google, I guess, was you had dogs, a dog or dogs. I saw several videos where you've used dogs.
I love dogs.
You love dogs.
I don't have a dog.
You
I
don't.
Think that's why I any event. I'm like, will you bring a dog? Can we have a dog there? So just like, I want a dog. I feel like it'd be cruel to have an animal and then not actually be able to take care of it.
Right. You're on the road a lot.
Yeah. Once I set down roots, I think.
All right. Well, so Massachusetts is the place that you want to be.
I don't know anymore.
Don't know?
I feel like I'm in a new stage of my life where I haven't been single in 7 years. So I'm like, okay, what do I want to do? Where do I want to go? So I'm thinking, New York or back to Seattle, or maybe I stay in Massachusetts or, I don't know, Paris. Why not? Do whatever I want.
And you mentioned that you were writing a book about poetry, or book of your poetry.
Yeah.
And I know you've won awards. You won a big Seattle contest for poetry, or the best in the entire state. And so as far as books go, have you ever thought of doing an autobiography about yourself and your life? Because your life is very interesting.
I think in the future. Originally, one of my agent was like, you should write essays. Like, we should get you, your memoir going. But the thing that I love about poems is that it can sit and kind of like brain, just go stream of consciousness and then get up and forget about it. And I feel like there's a lot of, you have continuity in storytelling that requires a lot of dedication and diligence that I just am not really trained in. I really write when I'm have something to get out. And so I think it will take another kind of muscle that I'm trying to build. But eventually I will write a memoir for sure.
Now, when you're writing music, what do you find is the best time for you? Some people like to write at night.
Yeah.
Some people's ideas come in when they're asleep.
Yeah.
They wake up in a dream and say, I got to write this down.
Totally.
When do you find your juices are flowing the best?
It's
or is there no specific
all over the
time?
Place. It's generally at night, though, I would say. I'm a night owl. I have the weirdest sleep schedule. I stay up until like 5 and then I sleep in until noon or 1.
Wow.
And I feel most creative at around 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have found, because I used to think that it was only at night and it was only if I was in complete chaos in my life. And that was, I think, one of the reasons I didn't go on medication was like, if I take bipolar meds, I'm going to be not as creative. And, you know, I love that I can just like churn out 3 songs in a night, you know, and I'm scared to lose that. And I wish that I had been on meds earlier because I didn't need to create chaos in order to make beautiful things. And so I find that when I just allow myself to sit down and say, I'm going to just write and I'm going to sit at the piano and whatever I come up with will be what I come up with. So I always end up creating when I give myself space to do so. So I've been trying to be more diligent about doing that.
So I imagine as a songwriter, there's a lot of ideas, a lot of songs come to mind. You just went through some major events in your life. So that must have, you know, spawned some songs in your head as well. So I know you're still working bold, but what's the plan for the next album? There must be plans in place. Maybe you can let us in.
Absolutely.
Give us a secret just between you and I and a few million people who might be tuned in right now.
The next album is really centered around shame and how shame impacts me personally. But I think there's really a collective feeling to it, a communal feeling that's really, I'm trying to create an invitation for other people to connect in that way. But, you know, we're shame from our childhood comes from body shame, you know, and how it manifests in our daily lives and, you know, hopefully ways to change perspective on it or shift a mindset. My bachelor's is in orchestral composition. So I did a lot of through composing for this, and it's really a conceptual album of like start to finish about sort of a metaphor of sometimes of drowning, of like just feeling like you're drowning in the shame and, you know, making yourself swim through it.
Mm-hmm.
And because what choice do you have? You know, there's survival in it. So it's very heavy. There's a lot of spoken word on it. There's strings on it. Not a lot of pop songs. it's drastically different than my last two records. I think I'm ready to switch gears and kind of get back to what I am most familiar with and what is, I think, most rewarding and therapeutic for me.
It's a little risky
to
change directions.
Absolutely. I've been concerned about that. But I think with the book coming out, the collection of poems, I think it sort of helps ease maybe my fans or, you know, people that listen to my music to be like, okay, there's some darkness here.
We have one of the most interesting and amazing people on the planet in our studios today, in Mary Lambert, and she's here to perform some music, so I don't want to, I'll talk forever, so I want to make sure we get to some music.
Great.
So Mary, if you don't mind, I'd love to hear you do some music for us.
Yeah, let's do anything.
How
So nice.
Thank you.
So nice. You wrote that.
Yes.
Because I was amazed and kind of floored to see the video that I watched where a writer came in and said, yeah, we changed the song, the other songs you had done.
Yeah.
And she wrote something. And I thought, you must be writing all of this stuff because nobody can pour themselves into the song like you do unless these are your words and your stories.
Yeah. I think that was where a lot of the fracture with the label, that occurred was me being like, I really just need to be the one to write everything. I just am so much more connected to it. And you know, it's difficult when there's a pop machine and there's a formula that people are really accustomed to. And to challenge that is hard. It's not part of the process generally. So that's why it's been really nice to be independent and to just really have my stamp on everything and be the sole writer. And the next album is I'm fully producing as well.
Wow.
So I want to be.
Is it a Kickstarter deal or?
No, this one with Bold did really well. And so I can fund it myself, which feels like really, I feel really fortunate to do so.
That is great. That is a great place to be in your life and in your career. You know, you're going to come out with a new album that you're paying for, you're producing, and you're writing.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. It's you, 100%.
Absolutely.
But it's different than the previous two.
Yeah. It's so funny because Bold is like me on this like flirty yellow couch, and I'm like, I'm a pop star. And then the next one is like just me crying. And I'm like, I don't know if that's any better incarnation of being bipolar.
So tell me about what is bipolar, because we have a lot of people around the world who are listening in different countries around the world.
Yeah.
And mental health is a big issue in the United States. We talk about it. We are aware of it. In other countries, it's suppressed and maybe not as developed or understood.
Yeah.
So what exactly does bipolar disorder mean? How has it affected you?
Right. Yeah. Because I feel like I would be a terrible spokesperson for for the whole community. And it's so varied from person to person. And I feel like there's just so many incarnations of mental disorders. And I feel like we have sort of blanket statements to cover many different, you know, facets of the brain. And neuroscience is something I really like to study, like, you know, my nerd out, my neuroscience books. And I don't know much of what I'm reading. I'm just hoping that some of it sticks. But one thing that I do continually uncover is this idea that, like, the brain is so elastic and that so much of it is shaped from, you know, genetics playing out in environments. And so for me, I think bipolar runs in my family, and I think that, you know, the genetics express themselves based on environmental issues. Mm-hmm. For me, I have something called cyclothymia, so I can cycle really rapidly, like in the course of a day. For some people, their bipolar is they're manic for like weeks or months at a time, and then they have a huge depressive period.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm generally okay. I'm pretty high functioning. Mm-hmm. And medication has really helped with that. And therapy has helped with that. And I've also done some spiritual energy, you know, meditative work, mm-hmm. and eating good food, like things that make right. me feel good.
In simple terms, you shut down or you cry or what?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
For me, I have, it's the thoughts in my brain speed up so quickly that I can't even communicate through it. And it's almost, I think when I have heard people describe panic attacks and anxiety, it's very similar to that, where I kind of black out. I feel really shaky and I can't talk. And that lasts for, you know, it can be a couple minutes and sometimes a couple hours. And then I have a huge, like, you know, depressive period after that of just like, I can't get out of bed. I have a really difficult time just reaching out to people, doing basic things. It's always like, anytime I shower, I'm like, I showered. I did it. I did something, you know. And writing has really helped with that. And I feel like I wish I could gift everybody that. Mm-hmm. That ability. And I've tried different tactics. I talked at, I spoke at the a mental health summit for psychiatrists and therapists for kind of offering my perspective and what has worked for me. And one of those things was really taking agency back to your own mental illness. And I realized that there were times where I didn't ask myself the question, am I going to choose to go to that place or am I going to choose to stay here in this reality where, because one thing, what happens to me is I call it a shame spiral of just like, if I think that I've impacted someone poorly, I just go into this pit and I feel like I can't move. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's compounded with, you know, childhood abuse or the environments that I've experienced. And I would love to get to a place where I don't have those as much.
Right, right. My goodness. Well, yeah, I mean, today we're in a, I guess, a label eccentric world, at least here in this culture, in this this country. Because a lot of the behaviors I had when I was young didn't have a label. Now it's ADHD. My 8-year-old son has been labeled. I did the same thing he did, but they didn't have a label. This is just a kid that doesn't have self-control.
Totally.
So, but you have gone through quite a few traumas, quite a few, you know, very meaningful, significant events through your life that you've managed to come through successfully, but it wasn't always that way. And you bipolar, you chose not to medicate. Yeah. You made that conscious decision. Yeah. I'm not going to take anything.
Yeah, I did. I was put on meds. I attempted suicide when I was about 17. So I was put on.
I want to talk about that too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what takes somebody to that point? Because we have had, you know, with Chester Bennington and so it's in the news, Robin Williams and so many people in the last couple of years, this seems to be a prominent story.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what can take somebody to that point, to where there is nothing left.
It feels like there's nothing. And I mean, I think, you know, I get pretty kind of ticked off when people say that suicide is the most selfish thing that anyone can do. I mean, I understand the principle of it. I don't, you know, I wouldn't try to argue that if someone feels that way, that's fine. I just, having come from that place, it just, you don't have the faculties to see things clearly. You can't. You're in a fog, you know, and it doesn't seem like there's any other option. And everything just feels so heavy all the time. And I don't know. I mean, especially at that time, I had just experienced, you know, trigger warning. I just experienced a gang rape and was coming out in the church. I was dealing with my own body issues. I was dealing with being bipolar.
Too much for one person.
And I had experienced a few of my friends had died. And I was just like, this is a nightmare. Why would anybody live in this world? It's bizarre, you know? And I still sometimes I'm like, the world is a garbage fire and we still choose to wake up in it. And that's, you know, an elective choice. And like, you know, props to everybody who chooses to wake up in the morning because it's a nightmare out there. But there's also so many redeeming factors and places of light within the world. It's just a matter of choosing to see it or what you you know, open your eyes to. Mm-hmm. And so I started opening my eyes to it a little bit more.
Well, and you are, Mary Lambert, you are a beacon to many. You may or may not realize it, but, you know, and from what I watched and all the fans and what they had to say, it's very evident that you have inspired and helped a lot of people mm-hmm. through who you are, through what you went through, through where you are today, and through your music as well.
Yeah.
And I thank you, you know, I mean, on behalf of the millions and millions you've touched. And you have to keep those people in mind.
Yeah.
Because you have a family, and your family is millions and millions around the world, for that matter. But I would like to, if you do another song for us.
Sure. I mean, I think this
we're
going to
peel the layers away. We got Mary Lambert in our studio. So I'm thrilled to have you here and to be able to talk. And thank you for being so candid.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know any other way to be. this is a poem called Body Love. I know girls who are trying to fit into the social norm like squeezing into last year's prom dress. I know girls who are low-rise, MAC eyeshadow and binge drinking. I know girls that wonder if they're disaster and sexy enough to fit in. I know girls who are fleeing bombs from the mosques of their skin, playing Russian roulette with death. It's never easy to accept that our bodies are fallible and flawed. But when do we draw the line? When the knife hits the skin, isn't it the same thing as purging? Because we're so obsessed with death, some women just have more guts than others. The funny thing is women like us don't shoot. We swallow pills, still wanting to be beautiful at the morgue, still proceeding to put on makeup, still hoping that the mortician finds us sexy and attractive. We might as well be buried with our shoes and handbags and scarves. Girls, we flirt with death every time we etch a new tally mark into our skin. I don't want to split my wrist to reveal a battlefield too, but the time has come for us to reclaim our bodies. Our bodies deserve more than to be war-torn and collateral, offering this as a pathetic means to say, I only know how to exist when I am wanted. Girls like us are hardly ever wanted, you know. We're used up and sad and drunk and perpetually waiting by the phone for someone to pick up and tell us that we did good. Well, you did good. I know I am because I said I am. I know I am because I said. Take your hands over your bumpy love body naked. Remember the first time you touched someone with the sole purpose of learning all of them. Touch them because the light was pretty on them, and the dust and the sunlight danced the way your heart did. Touch yourself with a purpose. Your body is the most beautiful royal. Fathers and uncles are not claiming your knife anymore, are not your razor. Put the sharpness back. Lay your hands flat and feel the surface of scarred skin. I once touched a tree with charred limbs. The stump was still breathing, but the tops were just ashy remains. I wonder what it's like to come back from that, because sometimes I feel forest fires erupting from my wrists and the smoke signals sent out of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. They're singing. I know I am because I said I am. I know I am because I said I am. I know I am because I said I am. My body is home. My body is home. My body is my own. My body is my own. Love your body the way your mother loved your baby feet. And brother, arm wrapping shoulders, remember, this is important. You are worth more than who you attract. You are worth more than a waistline. You are worth more than beer bottles displayed like drunken artifacts. You are worth more than any naked body could proclaim in the shadows, more than a man's whim or your father's mistake. You are no less valuable as a size 16 than a size 4. You are no less valuable as a 32A than a 36C. Your sexiness is defined by concentric circles within your wood. It is wisdom. You are a goddamn tree stump with leaves sprouting out. Reborn.
Very nice. Oh my gosh, how do I follow that? Wow. Mary Lambert is here, and Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter. Wonderful inspiration to so many people. Now, we were talking about suicide before, and you often have covered a song, Jesse's Girl.
Mm.
I just heard Rick Springfield contemplated suicide.
Yeah. God.
I mean, who would have ever imagined, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting is I feel like we don't talk about, there's nuance to suicide and there's mm-hmm. nuance to suicidal thoughts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's so much like shame associated with like someone that has suicidal thoughts versus someone that's attempted suicide versus someone that's reckless with their life.
Right.
And I feel like we don't treat people that are really reckless with their life the same way that we do people that have attempted suicide. You know, before I attempted, I was still, you know, I was like smoking cigarettes and doing any drug I could get my hands on and being really, you know, unsafe with myself and my spirit and my body. And I feel like that's a form of suicidal tendencies mm-hmm. of this reckless, you know, abandon for life. And not in a good way. I feel like there's so much of a spectrum. And if our only answer to people that are having those thoughts is to go to a psych ward, I feel like there are so many other answers and there's so many other tools to help people that have mental illness or are having those issues that isn't just going on a hotline, you know? And I think storytelling is a huge part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of times people feel trapped because they aren't able to communicate what's actually happening. So if we equip people with tools to get their story out, to have their voice heard, to feel, you know, not as small as they might, or I think for me, I didn't feel in control of my life. I felt really powerless. So how can we, you know, encourage, you know, agency for people to take control of their own lives rather than just, you know, hearing that someone has a suicidal thought and be like, gotta call the psych ward, you know?
Wow. And so now we're into a time, because you were obviously a dark place and it was a difficult time for you, but now we're in a place where women are getting the attention that they have always deserved in the Me Too, you know, where you're going through those struggles and people have suppressed their stories.
Yeah.
How do you feel about all that that's going on right now?
Oh, I'm so happy about it. I think the accountability is beginning to be there. And I feel like we're in just a new chapter of history. And I think that we have this idea that history repeats itself, you know, and I wouldn't disagree with that. But I also think we're in a completely new age. And there's this book, Homo Deus, and Sapiens, he's a wonderful writer, and he's basically talking about human civilization we are here now. This next level is about artificial intelligence. It's about machines. It's about, like, you know, the internet. This is our next growth. And so there's no rule book for what is going on. And I feel like for a lot of us, we're just like, everything's going to be fine. We're going to be fine. It was fine before, so this is just going to keep being recycled, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're in a new era, and I don't think we have the answers, and I think that things are going to be radically different moving forward. And I think, you know, women holding, you know, the oppressors in their life and people who have harmed them, primarily men, holding them accountable and demanding equal treatment and questioning the status quo it's better for everybody. Everybody wins. And I was thinking about toxic masculinity and how that's so harmful to women. I think toxic masculinity is also I was talking to a friend of mine that it's also very harmful to men. Like, why can't we get in touch with our feelings and why can't we have these conversations to where it's okay to cry? It's okay to to freely love and, I feel like I sound like such a hippie. Freely love, man.
We did that at one time. Yeah. Where did we go? Where did we fall off the path?
I mean,
back in the 60s, it was free love.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. So I'm pumped about it. Mm. I think, with some of the things that are coming out, that the same way that I was speaking about suicide, is there has to be so much room for nuance and for things, for us to be able to say, that was a really bad incident. That guy is kind of a crappy guy versus that guy might not be so great. He did something bad. Is he a bad person? Asking these questions that are, difficult and complex. It's very complicated.
So now we're into a new year. What's a New Year's resolution or resolutions for Mary Lambert? What does she want to do more of, less of, differently in the year ahead?
I want to take more selfies.
More fart jokes.
More fart jokes. More selfies. I want to finish my book, have a good release. And this year is about doing exactly what I want and not feeling any shame or guilt about it. What did I say? Happy, healthy 2018. Everything's coming up, Lambert.
I love it. That's great. So what's on the plan for you? It's called the Everybody is a Babe Tour, mm-hmm. Part 2. Mm-hmm. And so what after that? The new album? Is it almost done? Is it close to done?
I would say it's like 60% there. Mm-hmm. It's so hard being a writer because you're always like, oh, my new stuff. I got to put my new stuff
right.
out.
You want to play it.
You haven't released the old stuff, I think I'm going to try to lay down some new stuff and try to fuse it with the other stuff. I'm working on 2 music videos too. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to release those because every music video I do, I want to have a story and I want it to be, I want it to be, I don't want there to be another thing like it. I want to create something different. Mm-hmm. There's so much noise and so much media being made that I want to create something that's thoughtful and intentional and make something that hasn't been done before.
Well, you have just perfectly led me into the new video. For the new song, Know Your Name, which, it's got quite a bad, I can't swear, but, but you're a tough girl in an arcade, and you got the hair going on. I don't know if that's something you did for the video.
It's like a post-apocalyptic hair.
I don't know. You got are these tattoos real? You had tattoos, all of them?
Yeah.
Wow. And you had the tough, you were wearing the leathers, and you were ready to get down, to throw down in your new video.
It was a duck hunt gun, and I had it in a gun holster, and I never got to do anything with it, but I just want everyone to know that that was in the video, and it was really great.
And you co-star with somebody from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, Sada Ramirez. We met like 2 years ago at a gala and just really hit it off, and oh my God, she was so down to do it, and it was just, we did it with a sort of the tightest budget possible. Mm-hmm. And she was just such a good sport. And I just feel lucky.
Are you going to do that song for us now?
Yes, let's do Know Your Name.
Know Your Name, the new one from Mary Lambert.
Mm-hmm. Lady, can I get you closer? Lady, would you come on over? Gotta see you again. I love the way that you walked in, lady. I've been waiting for you, maybe you've been waiting for me. Hey, wanna go out dancing? Hey, would you take a chance on me? I wanna take you out. I wanna make you shake. I wanna drive you out.
I probably should know your name when I finally get to be the one who gets to hold you close in the night, in the dark, be light. I should know your name when I finally get to be the one who gets to hold you close in the night, in the dark, be light. I should know your name. It could be so good, but I probably should know your name. Lady, got a car and a weekend. Lady, do you feel what I'm feeling? I gotta see you again. I love the way that you walked in. Lady, I've been waiting for you. Baby, you've been waiting for me. Hey, wanna go to dinner? Hey, wanna see me later? I wanna take you out. I wanna make you shake. I wanna drive you wild. But I probably should know your name when I finally get to be the one who gets to hold you close in the night, in the dark, be light. I should know your name when I finally get to be the one who gets to hold you close in the night, in the dark, be light. I should know your name. It could be so good, but I probably should know.
Name for sure. The CD is Bold. And see, I didn't make you cry. We didn't cry right. On this show. We didn't cry today.
There's always afterwards.
There's always next time. And, you know, for having you back, you know, please come back again. I mean, the time flew by. It just went by so fast.
Always does.
I've got so much to talk about, so much more to talk about, but you got to promise to come back again.
I will, always.
Please do.
I
Mary
live here
Lambert.
Now.
So if people want to get the CD, or go to your website, where would they go?
MaryLambertSings.com. And my handles online are at MaryLambertSing. Just drop this. Who needs it?
Mary Lambert, thank you so much for coming on. You're beautiful. Beautiful inside, beautiful outside.
Thank you. You are too, Larry.
It's lovely to see you guys and nice to meet you. Thank you guys for coming on. Mary Lambert is our guest. Once again, another great show. Always a great time when she's here visiting D.C. Bold is the CD. I'm Larry London, and this is Border Crossings.
Safety and home. I named both of a ride forever, and please don't go. I could be your morning sunrise all the time, yeah. This could be good, this could be good. I can't change, even if I try, even if I want. Keeps me warm.
keeps me warm. What's your middle name? Do you hate your job? Do you fall in love too easily? What's your favorite word? Do you like kissing girls? Can I call you baby? So good together. Yeah, yeah.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
Okay. Game face. Here we go.
I've got bipolar disorder. My life's not in order. I'm overweight. I'm always late. I've got too many things to say. I rock mom jeans, cat earrings, extrapolate my feelings. My family is dysfunctional, but we have a good time killing each other. They tell us from the time we're young to hide the things that we don't like about ourselves, inside ourselves. I know I'm not the only one who spent so long attempting to be someone else. Well, I'm over it. Sometimes I cry a whole day. I care a lot. Use an analog clock and never know when to stop. And I'm passive aggressive. I'm scared of the dark and the dentist. I love my butt and won't shut up. And I never really grew up. They tell us from the time we're young to hide the things that we don't like about ourselves, inside ourselves. I know I'm not the only one who spent so long attempting to be someone else. Well, I'm over it.
I used to stutter, couldn't properly speak. I grew up feeling as awkward can be. I used to steal my brother's clothes up out his closet each week. I had to roll up the sleeves because he was taller than me. I had big dreams, little old unpopular me. My house ain't have no doors, a window, or electricity. But I ain't want nobody to see. I used to beg the bus driver to drop me off down the street. They say, you too this, you too that, you too rich, well, too bad. What you want me to do? Sell my house and move back? It's nothing no one can call me, ain't nothing no one can do. I don't fit into any crowd, I never hope that I do. Bye,
Well, that's it for today's show, and I want to thank you for listening. Also, a big thank you and a big giant hug to Mary Lambert. Her latest CD is called Bold, and I would encourage anybody to get a copy of this CD. And go to her website and check her out, too. She's a wonderful person with a huge heart and a great capacity for love. And what a pleasure to have her in studio once again and to rediscover some of the things that make Mary Lambert so special and so unique. But thank you, Mary, for joining us, and thank you, Vince, for putting the show together today. My name's Larry London. You have a great evening, and we'll talk soon. This is Border Crossings on the VOA1 Music Network.